The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
807, June 19th, 2018. Hold on, you're sitting in for Mark Davis. That intro talking about why we slept. For all we know, Mark Davis is still asleep. He's on vacation this week. I'm sitting in through Friday, and Mark will be back a week from today. A much-deserved rest for Mark, and we wish him the very best. Paul Gleiser sitting here in the studio for Mark. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R. And follow my weekly column at YouTellMeTexas.com, YouTellMeTexas.com. We're going to change direction here for a minute. We're going to talk about tariffs and trade. We have a special guest. We have Richard Kozlarish. Did I say that correct, Mr. Kozlarish?
That's correct. Thank you, Paul.
Wow, I got it right.
Yeah.
former Ambassador Richard, thank you so much for being a part of the day here at DFW. Give us your 30-second CV so that we can know what your credentials are.
Well, I've been 32 years as a Foreign Service officer in the Department of State working on economic issues and was U.S. Ambassador to Azerbaijan and Bosnia. And then I was National Intelligence Officer for Europe at the National Intelligence Council and now happily at George Mason University, Schar School of Policy and Government and teaching on energy security.
In less than 30 seconds, very nicely done, Ambassador.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your position and what we're going to talk about today, if I'm reading correctly, you are opposed to President Trump's tariffs, calling them a tax on the American people. Give us your position.
Well, you know, I've spent my whole professional life working to promote U.S. business around the world, and the main way to do that is to lower barriers to trade, reduce tariffs, and engage in meaningful trade negotiations and agreements where those make sense. So I am unabashedly a fan of NAFTA, and I would be a fan of TPP if we were still part of it. Because it moves the country in the right direction with our trading partners at a time when we really have to be conscious of there are problems in the trade area that we can't ignore, but they're not going to be solved by putting tariffs on trade, which are going to increase costs to the American consumer and not promote U.S. economic activity.
Well, is it not true that the whole tariff kerfuffle began after President Trump received a nearly year-long study, I believe it was, by the Commerce Department that said for national security reasons, our steel and aluminum industries needed to be protected. They were being hollowed out by the practices, mostly of China, of dumping below-cost, artificially cheap steel and aluminum on the market. So, you know, all of what you say, is there not a strategic reason to be protective of strategic industries?
Look, President Trump has been consistent on this from the time he was a candidate. You know, he was very clear about what his intention was with our trading partners. You know, he wanted to renegotiate, if not leave NAFTA. He wanted to leave TPP. He was concerned about China. So there's nothing that's sort of a recent development in terms of his own thinking. I think China is a great example of a country where we really do have serious problems that need to be addressed. I think intellectual property and the advantage that they've taken, both clandestinely and otherwise, to acquire U.S. technology must be addressed. But that sort of thing is not going to be addressed through slapping on tariffs.
Nothing else has worked.
Well, I think you got to continue to increase the pressure in that specific area. I mean, when you let a Chinese company off the hook, as Trump did recently, a company that was clearly involved in stealing our technology, I think that's not a helpful direction to go either. I think we need to focus on the specific problem that's really hurting the United States. We are not going to be able to recreate the iron and steel industry as it was two decades ago. I just spent 3 weeks in my hometown in Moline, Illinois, farm implement capital of the world in the 1950s. That all went away. And that's because the nature of our economy has changed from one based on family farms to something quite different. And so our own economy is changing, too. So we can't try to recreate the past using tariffs to somehow solve a problem that needs to be addressed in the framework of the 21st century economy.
Well, just for the purpose of a vigorous debate here,
yes,
irrespective of trying to recreate the past, and I don't think you can recreate the past because you can't recreate the past. But is it not true that steel and aluminum are strategic industries?
Well, there are a lot of strategic industries.
Well, but let's focus on those two.
I'm not sure tariffs are going to protect us from that.
Well, my question is it not true that they are in fact strategic industries, that we need them?
Well, we need iron and steel and metal products for our economy. Yes, but to call them strategic industries in the sense of if we don't have any. If we're importing steel, that somehow this is undermining U.S. security, importing steel from Mexico and Canada, I really have a hard time with that, quite frankly. Could I go back to China just for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
Because I just saw a headline today. I haven't had a chance to read the article, that among the retaliatory tariffs the Chinese are thinking of imposing are on U.S. oil exports. Now, it seemed to me that your listeners, the state of Texas, certainly the United States, should be concerned about the consequences of tariffs being applied, because there will be a reaction from countries on products that are also important.
Okay, and let me continue in my devil's advocacy position.
Sure.
Here. Let's say, okay, first of all, you need to know I'm not a big fan of tariffs either, and I've read quite extensively on the enormous harm that tariffs did in the 1930s,
right?
That prolonged and needlessly prolonged and made much worse a very serious recession, turned it into a depression. I'm not a fan of tariffs, and when I heard President Trump, I heard during the campaign, but when he actually started talking about actually implementing tariffs, I didn't like it. It rankled my core beliefs. But on the other hand, what other tools does he have, and how do we get the attention of what I believe is a very bad actor in the form of China? What do you do to make it really stick? Because nothing we've done so far has.
Okay. Well, again, I would not sort of use this blanket approach of putting tariffs on steel and steel-related trade for all countries. I mean, why would we want to do that to our friends in Europe and our friends and allies in this hemisphere? Focus
because
on China.
Well, and
let's focus on China.
All right,
if that's the country of greatest concern here, and I think one way of doing that. Unfortunately, not, it's still available if he would be prepared to change his position, is to engage in a vigorous Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, which was bringing together all of the economies in the Pacific Basin, in a sense, to create a bloc that would be able to go in and, demand of the Chinese to address these problems on things like intellectual property and subsidies in other areas. I mean, it's not just steel, it's solar panels, and you can go on and on down the list.
But we draft these agreements, and then the parties that on the other side of the table ignore them and violate them, and they do it with impunity, and it's been going on for decades.
Well, that's a measurable thing. I think by and large we've benefited from NAFTA. I think by and large we would benefit from the TPP. I think the WTO has provided a rules-based system for global trade that provides another opportunity for going after the Chinese. But this is long, hard work. This is trench warfare, and it's going to go on for a long, long time. But I think, it's a mistake to believe that, applying tariffs is one going to result in the other side giving up in some fashion, and two, not result in countervailing activities, which could harm not only U.S. industry, but certainly U.S. consumers, because we'll be paying more for the products that the Chinese, the Canadians, and others would put their own tariffs on.
Well, again, focusing on China, you know, as I think, I believe, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I believe the Chinese economy is more fragile than many people realize, and I think...
Yeah, I would agree with that, yes.
Okay, so I think the president is using leverage that he has in order to get their attention, and if that's what he's doing, you know, how's that a bad thing? Because so far, nothing any administration, Republican or Democrat, has done over the past 30 years has done anything to get China to behave in a fair and lawful trading partnership.
Well, as I said, we were able to get them to join the WTO World Trade Organization, where they must accept not only trading rules, but open their economy to action by other countries like the United States in the event we believe subsidies are involved. And we've used that mechanism around the world.
Then
I think we have, quite frankly, we've done quite well in terms of exports to the Chinese market, penetrating in ways that we hadn't in the past. So, you know, this hasn't been simply a zero-sum game. If we insist that we have a perfect trade balance with every country in the world, that's not going to work.
But we have trade deficits with everybody we trade with.
Not everybody.
But very nearly everybody.
Well, why? That's because our economy is demand-driven. The American consumer wants things. We're not investment-driven. And so if our economy is not producing as much as our consumers are demanding, we've got two choices, either import products from abroad or increase incentives for savings in the United States so the U.S. consumer doesn't consume more. Tariffs kind of do that, but I'm not going to be happy as a consumer if I got to pay more for my goods for no gain either to me personally or to the American economy.
Well, then, how do you deal with the forced technology transfers that the Chinese engage us in, the gross theft of intellectual property the Chinese engage in, and the fact that our steel and aluminum industries have in fact been significantly hollowed out?
Well, the hollowing out is a question that I think economists will will argue about as to what the cause was. But I think, you know, to focus on the technology sector is really where we need to be trying to, have some action with the Chinese. I totally agree. The present situation is not acceptable. And I think what you do is to use the tools that the Treasury Department and the Commerce Department have at hand now to go after specific companies who we can identify as having violated our intellectual property requirements. This is a huge, huge industry for the United States. And the degree to which we can deal with the Chinese theft, some of which, as I said, is clandestine, but some of which is not, is really, really critical for the future of the U.S. economy. I have no agreement. But tariffs on steel products or on dairy products with Canada are not going to help deal with our problem with China.
Well, then what's your comeback to the dairy farmer who, if he wants to export dairy products into the Canadian market, is subjected to a 200% tariff?
Well, there's a very interesting study that I just read that Brookings has come out with. And, you know, look, agricultural products in the United States, Canada, are just, subsidized and restricted in all kinds of various ways. But the interesting thing, again, according to the Brookings study, is that we actually have a dairy surplus with Canada because what they do is impose quotas. And for trade underneath that quota, there are no duties, or if there are duties, they're very, very limited. Once you get beyond that quota, then those products are subject to the 200% tariff. At this, again, if the Brookings study is correct, then they're pretty good on this stuff. They say there really isn't any trade that's affected by the 200% rate. Now, should the Canadians be restricting trade at all? Hey, I love zero tariffs, and I really wish we could get away from all of us subsidizing agriculture, but whether you're in Europe, Canada, or the United States, you know, everybody does it. But I think in a sense that, you know, the 200% Canadian dairy issue is a red herring.
Okay, well, it's certainly a part of this debate, and it's hard,
it is
difficult for us out here lay people to separate out the red herrings from the actual truth. Ambassador, it's a pleasure, and thanks for joining us here. You've shed some light, and we appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your giving attention to it because it really is very important for all of us.
Very well. Ambassador, have a great week. Thank you very much
you
for
too.
Joining
Bye.
Us here. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on the on 660 AM The Answer. Your calls when we come back after the break. Don't go away. 8:27 here in Dallas, Fort Worth, June 19th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis on The Mark Davis Show. Mark on vacation this week. He will return Monday. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, G-L-E-I-S-E-R, my weekly column at YouTellMeTexas.com. Our guest in the previous segment, Richard Kozlarik, with the time that we had, we can't get in, didn't have time to finish the thought. But, you know, the niceties as the way we've been doing business for the past 30 years have landed us $21 trillion in debt, have given us two rogue regimes who are threatening with nuclear weapons, that being Iran and North Korea. Maybe we have North Korea headed the right direction. We'll see. Trade deficits, as far as the eye can see, shrinking key industries, aluminum and steel being the most notable, and the rise of a terribly malevolent economic competitor in the form of China that is announced out loud. It wants to dominate 8 of 10 key industries by 2025 worldwide. And so we have a Donald Trump, a new sheriff in town. I think the tariffs thing, which at the core issue I don't like, I don't like him, but on the other hand, he more than any president we've had for the past three decades is working to get the world's attention, and it's not too subtle, and it does not really observe all of the niceties that we have observed for lo these decades. By lo these people we have who are well barbered and well suited, who talk very nicely and very soothingly while the problems persist and get bigger. This is not the president we have now. We have a guy who is, he's not just going to keep doing what's been being done to the same negative effect. This is a guy who is going to make his presence known. So I'm willing to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Let's see if China really does want a trade war. I don't think they do. I think their economy is sufficiently fragile that they can afford one even less than we can, and maybe the president is doing what needs to be done in order to get their attention. But what do you think? That's the question. 866-660-5759. Also the question this morning, what do we do to reclaim ownership of our federal government? Because clearly the people who work there, whose salaries we pay, don't think that we own it. 866-660-5759. We'll go back to the phones and your calls here on The Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer right now, Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. 836 here on a Monday morning, June 18th, 2018. 78 degrees, going for a high of 91. Good chance of rain today. Thank goodness we need it. Rain would be great. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis here on The Mark Davis Show. We've morphed into the subject of tariffs and the president's imposition of tariffs on China and on countries that we like a whole lot better than China, countries that we consider to be friends. They're a little ticked off with us. What are your thoughts on that subject? We'll explore that as well as retaking our government back from the permanent federal bureaucracy. Robert in Bluffdale, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Go.
Good morning, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
That guy you were talking to was a swamp creature emeritus. Oh, my goodness.
Well, how so?
I'll start with a simple question. You listen to these guys, but you need to tell me how tariffs work for everybody else's economy, but it doesn't work for ours. How is that possible?
Well, I guess he would say that they don't work for their economies because their economies are we talk about particularly the European economies are they low growth, stagnant, not moving. And that's not principally due to tariffs, but you know, it's just you know if you his comeback would be that you want free markets and free trade, but. My comeback to that is we're being taken advantage of. What tools do we use if not tariffs?
Precisely. And, you know, and part of that's on us. We don't – when you go to any big box store, you don't necessarily have to accept made in China. You don't have to accept that. You have to look a little bit, but you can find a saw blade made in Italy. I've done this that is – superior to what the Chinese will sell you. And interestingly enough, it was less expensive. Sometimes you just have to work a little harder. But oh my gosh, it is absolutely worth it. We do not have to put up with any of this stuff in any way at all. And man, if tariffs are how we knock them upside the head, fine. You know, they need to quit cheating and stealing.
I think that that if tariffs are imposed, if they are ever actually imposed at all, they will be short-lived because I think the president is using leverage that he has to change the rules of engagement, which, you know, I agree with him. The rules of engagement need to be changed. We have been taken advantage of for decades, and neither Republican presidents nor Democratic presidents, please pardon me for that, neither Republicans nor Democrats have done anything substantive to keep this under control. And our, you know, we just keep getting taken advantage of, and our wealth is transferring across the seas. And, you know, by virtue of our trading relationship with Europe, we, for many reasons, we are essentially, you know, the American consumer is essentially financing the European social democrat welfare state. And we're,
absolutely,
in addition to funding our own welfare recipients, we're funding European welfare recipients. And, you know, a nation that's $21 trillion in debt, I don't think can afford that. Listen, I think tariffs are a very, very blunt instrument. Kind of my core level, I don't like them. But I do like the fact that we have a president who's tough enough to stand up and do things that are going to be as roundly unpopular in so many quarters as tariffs are going to be in order to get the attention of bad actors. I like that part of all of this. The guy's tough. And I get it. I stepped on you there, Richard. Robert, say again.
I said, you know, indeed, if somebody's going to cheat you or steal you, sometimes a club is the way that you get their attention.
Yeah, sometimes you need a two-before between the eyes. And that's what the tariffs are. It's a two-before between the eyes, which, you know, kind of inelegant. I don't like it. But nevertheless, I will give the president credit. And let me tell you, I'm woefully uneducated on this topic. I am not an economist. I took 3 hours of economics in college. I think I made a B. So I don't know enough to talk expertly on this subject. I'm talking from 30,000 feet. I think the president is doing things that haven't been done before because what's been done before hasn't worked out very well. Robert, that's a great call. Thanks for checking in with us. We appreciate it. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. Richard in Arlington, you're next on the Mark Davis Show. Go.
No, hello there. It's my first time to hear you, and I'm so far pretty impressed. And I agree with your last caller to some extent. When I was a correspondent and editor at the Voice of America in the Reagan administration, we Reaganites used to joke that the State Department had never made a mistake in America's favor. And I think the ambassador sort of sounds that way in the sense that he's thinking like a diplomat. He's not thinking like a businessman or a consumer. And tariffs, as you say, are almost always bad, but there's an exception, and that's when they're targeted against specific bad actors or bad actions. And I think that's Trump's objective. As a retired military officer, I'd have to point out to the ambassador that steel and technology, raw materials of technology, let's say, are both critical to national defense in a way that milk isn't. and steel has national defense implications, don't in fact apply to most segments of industry. So the president's right to single those kinds of things out, and the technology theft from China.
Well, what about Canada? There, you know, the Canadian prime minister said, how can you possibly think we're your enemy, that we're trying to harm you?
Well, the tariffs there are not at the same level of national security as the tariffs on steel and aluminum, for example. But I think there you've got the typical, I think, decades, if not centuries long, competition across our northern border and, in fact, across our southern border. And I used to work at USDA, so I'm somewhat familiar with that. And there's always a problem in raising our exports and trying to best our competitors. But in fact, we've given away advantages to people because they're friends that have put us at a disadvantage that's really unfair. It's not predatory in the same way that the Chinese are, but it's definitely an economic problem. And so I agree that we might want to treat Canada and even Mexico a little bit differently than we treat China, for example, or the EU, which I really dislike because, as you say, we're supporting their socialist state. But I think that the president's whole point is look, we got to make this as fair as possible. And I think his tactic, do you remember Robert Ringer?
No.
He was a guy who was wrote several leadership books. One was called Winning Through Intimidation.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah, I know. Yeah, okay.
Okay, and
yeah.
His tactic that he talked about, first thing he'd do when sitting down with somebody to negotiate, he'd kind of make a wrinkled face, you know, kind of distasteful look, and the guy would say, well, what's the matter? And he'd say, well, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you've got bad breath. And from that point on in the meeting, he said, I was in charge, because he could talk about the negotiations, but his mind was always on his bad breath. And I think that that's Trump's approach as a real estate mogul. He's trying to throw the other guy off balance in order to gain an advantage.
And so is it possible, you're trying to read President Trump's mind, is it possible that he's rattling his saber in the direction of Europe and Canada to convince the Chinese, if he's willing to stick it in the face of his friends, he's got to be resolved against us? Is it a tactic?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right as to what it is. Although in the case of Europe, well, they do have some predatory practices too, but they're not at the level, like I say, of national defense materials like, you know, computers, steel and aluminum, electronics, and that sort of thing. And if we get to the point where we don't have control over our own destiny in those fields, we won't have an adequate military. Because, you know, when you get to depending on the other guy to take care of you, you put yourself at the mercy of the other guy. And I think that one of Trump's major objectives is to make sure that we are in control of our own destiny. And in the areas of national security materials and technology, that's more important, frankly, than milk, although I certainly feel for the – when I worked at USDA, I got to the point where I thought the FFA kids were probably the greatest hope for our future, practically. You know, we've got some really great people in the field of agriculture, including one brother of mine who's a PhD in agronomy. But they're not the ones that are going to be standing – taking bullets. And the first thing Trump is trying to do, I think, and you may have a feeling on this too, I think he's trying to shore up those things that are necessary for what he calls Make America Great Again, but basically just say, look, we've got to be able to be in charge of our own security and not dependent on allies for that. And I think you're right. I think what he's doing with Canada, maybe to an extent Mexico, I think he's got an axe to grind there anyway. But especially in Canada's case, and I think Macron, by the way, understands it from his reaction, is to send a signal, just as you said. And I think that, you know, that's why I think you were a little more perceptive in your discussion than the ambassador was, because he kept trying to explain away the problems in the same way that used to happen to us at VOA, any time we put on something they thought was, quote, too patriotic, close quote.
Wasn't that the purpose of VOA?
Friends, and he's in the business of protecting the nation. I guess maybe that's a good
And wasn't putting things on that are patriotic, wasn't that the purpose of VOA? I mean, weren't we trying to export our beliefs?
Foreign service officers and diplomats really don't think that way. They go, we don't want to offend the people that are listening to us. And, you know, so occasionally we just run into a bump in the road where they say, oh, no, that just sounds too chauvinistic.
All right, Richard. Hey, listen, great call, Richard. Thanks for your insight.
Well, thanks for filling in. You're a good substitute. I hope Mark brings you back again.
Well, Mark has been very kind of been here before, and maybe I'll be invited back. But thank you for the kind words, Richard. That opens up a line at 866-660-5759. Time for one more call before the break. David and Denton, you're next on The Mark Davis Show. Go. Hello, David? Hello, David? I'm going to put you on hold, David, and maybe you'll be there when we come back to you. Let's see here. Gary in Murphy, Texas. You're next on The Mark Davis Show. Hello?
Yeah, I wanted to get off a speaker.
All right, Gary, take off. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, people don't seem to see the end game.
What is that?
By Trump putting these tariffs on, and look for him to put a 25% tariff on cars. Because right now we got a 2%. Europe has a 25%. When he brings it up to 25%, they're going to say, whoa, this is not good for anybody. And then everybody takes their tariffs off. I think he's putting these tariffs on with the idea of backing them down. You know, like Canada's got 200% on milk and, you know, some ridiculous things. And, you know, he's instantly created leverage by these tariffs he's putting on.
I read an article in the Hill newspaper that says that the writer's opinion was Trump knows a trade war will be expensive and particular and potentially harmful to the economy. But nevertheless, the United States can afford a trade war more than anybody else can, and so you put those chips in the middle of the table and call their bluff. And if that's what he's doing, it's gutsy, and it may blow up, but at least it's a move in a direction of solving a problem that no previous administration has been able to solve.
The point is, we're already in a trade war. They put 25% tariffs on our automobiles. That was a trade war. But we didn't retaliate. We didn't fight back. The previous administrations have just allowed this to go on out of control. And now, you know, he's coming in and saying, you know, we're not going to have any more of that.
Well, yeah, the argument is that China's been in a trade war with us for 20 years, and we just haven't engaged in it.
You know, it's kind of like the situation in the Middle East with this Islamic Jihad. They were at war with us, but we weren't at war with them. And it's the same thing in the trade situation. They've been taking advantage of us for a long time, and we haven't done anything to counter it. You know, if you go through all the various tariffs and everything, I mean, our tariffs are a pittance compared to what the Europeans and Canadians are doing. And what Trump's trying to do is just level that out. And let me put it this way. If the right people are screaming bloody murder, that tells you Trump is once again in the right.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that is a very, very good barometer. Gary, great call. Thanks for checking in with us. That opens up another line, 866-660-5759. More on this subject, more of your calls coming after the break here on The Mark Davis Show at 660 AM The Answer. 8:56 here on a Monday morning, June 18th, 2018. Paul Gleiser sitting in for Mark Davis. Hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Paul Gleiser, Gleiser, my weekly column at youtellmetexas.com. We've opened up some topics this morning that we will talk about all in the next hour. The phone lines will be wide open, and it's all about you in the next hour. So we've talked about what do you want to see happen to the miscreants in the Justice Department. How do we reclaim our government back from the federal bureaucracy that thinks it is exempt from the laws that pertain to you and me. What are you going to be okay if nobody gets fired and nobody goes to jail in the wake of the Hillary emails and the thumb on the scales by the FBI in the 2016 election? You're going to be okay if everybody gets away with that. I'm not. 866-660-5759. Is it okay to talk as dirty as we do, which we talk pretty dirty? Listen to Robert De Niro. You okay with that? And then what about tariffs? Is it time? Is what Donald Trump is doing correct? Or is it too blunt an instrument? So we have those topics to talk about and more in the next hour here on The Mark Davis Show. 866-660-5759. Your call's coming up after the top.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.